Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. I'm going to look at verse 6. Chapter 9, Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Christmas Coin, The Christmas Coin. Isaiah 9, 6, thus saith the Lord, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Before we look into this, let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Holy Spirit, we come to you in thanksgiving that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We thank you for those words because they're inspired, first of all, and second of all, they're a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look into them, we pray that you would take the message and it would go out and it would touch hearts. It might bring conviction where conviction is necessary, comfort where it's needed, edification where it's needed, and salvation if it's needed. Let it go out and come back to you, accomplishing your purposes. Thank you, Lord, for all your word and for the way it changes our lives. Thank you for that. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In the spiritual realm, everything in it is like a coin. And that is, it has two sides. And the reason it has two sides is because as human beings, we have a spirit and we have flesh. We have a temporary side and we have a spiritual side. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Heads, you're with them. Tails, you're against them. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus taught, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself and you cannot serve God. It's one or the other. And in 1 John 5:12, that teaches us, he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. What that simply means is eternal life. We all have life right now because we're on top of the turf and we're breathing. But there's going to come a point in time when we're going to leave this earth and there's another realm. Now, some people choose not to believe that, and they do it at their own risk. And the reason that every culture in mankind's history has always believed in an afterlife, because Ecclesiastes tells us eternity is written on their hearts, on our hearts. So it's like a coin. It has a head and a tail. And at Christmas time, it's absolutely no different. It's like a coin. It has two sides as well. On the head side of the coin, there's a manger. It's a manger of the Christ child, and inscribed along the edges of the coin is our text. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Engraved on the tail side of that coin, that Christmas coin, is Santa Claus and his sled and his reindeers, and it shows a picture of them flying on a bright moonlit night. And inscribed around the edges of that side of the coin are just the words, ho, ho, ho. That Christmas coin, I found out, was first minted in 1821. Some unknown author wrote a story, and the story caught the eye of the public, and that's how ho, ho, ho. And then, of course, there was the Saint Nicholas got involved in it, and it just evolved. But it started in 1821, because before that Christmas coin was minted, before that, Christmas was always about the birth of Jesus Christ for centuries, always about the birth. Now, with that in mind, I wanted this morning start off by looking at the tail side of the Christmas coin, because by far, this is the side of the coin most of America is going to flip to on December 25th. They're going to flip to it. Their Christmas season starts, and rightly so, with something called Black Thursday or Black Friday. That's a perfect name to start the season, as it represents America's spiritual attitude and its spiritual state regarding God. From that point on, what they call the holiday spirit, and that heart beats in every unsaved person. When I was younger, it was Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Today, oh no, you can't do that. Happy holiday. Any way at all to make the name Jesus Christ or any part of that name known is a no-no today. And then on Christmas morning, this is the interesting, on Christmas morning, what happens? Everybody's all excited, the gifts are opened, and then the day is topped off with a really nice meal and maybe in the afternoon a football game or a parade. That's how it goes. And then a week or so later on, the Christmas tree comes down, the decorations come down, we got to vacuum up all the pine needles, and then the lights and the decorations are put away, and everything goes back to the way it was. There's no change. It was just a time when we got together, we put up a tree, looked at lights, spent all of our money, gave everybody everything, and a week later, we got nothing. You're going right back to where you were. There's no benefit. I actually witnessed that. I was visiting some people, a family member years ago. He had a room half filled with presents for his two grandchildren and for his wife and his family. Half a room filled with it. He had a tree that you could put in this sanctuary, and it would look very nice here. It fit here. That's how big it was. And at that morning, because I was, as I said, I was just visiting there, I watched them. I had my coffee, and I watched them open up all their presents. I watched them go filled with joy at getting the gifts, not so much with some, but mostly. Everybody was very happy. They had to bring in two or three trash bags to hold all the paper. It was just incredible, the amount of gifts. When it was done, the room looked like you were in a department store or in a clothing store. There were so many gifts. And after they were all opened, this wonderful thing happened. And I thought it was wonderful because it struck me. They all sat there looking at the gifts and then looking at each other and smiling. They knew it was over. That was it. And that's what Christmas is to most of America today. That's what it is. And then they put it all away and they plan for next year and they do exactly the same thing. That's what Christmas is like. And I did that before I was saved, and I never understood it. All I ever understood was the bill that came in the next month for my credit card. And then it was like Christmas. Well, I don't want to do this again next year. There's nothing in it, no benefit in it, no peace, no hope, no joy, nothing. Because it was all about Black Friday or Thursday. And what that means is, by the way, is that means that those department stores that have those sales are doing it so that they stay in the black all year long. It's the greatest, it's the time when they make the greatest sales. That's the tail side of Christmas most of America will celebrate. Now I want to tell you something. In my view, those people, I was one of them, those people are so blinded about what Christmas is really about, they leave the most important gift that they had unwrapped. They won't touch it, they won't open it, and they want nothing to do with it. Of course, that precious gift is God's love child, the baby Jesus, man's savior. That's the most precious gift any human being can ever have. Nothing. I don't care what it is. If somebody gave you the Taj Mahal and gave you more money than you could spend in two lifetimes, it'd be nothing equal to the baby Jesus, the salvation that comes from him. Why? Because you're going to give up your money. You're going to give up your home. You're going to have this life in the ground. It's going in the ground. And you're going to move on to an eternal state where all of that does you no good. That's when you need to know the baby Jesus. And we know why. God tells us why people strip Christ out of Christmas. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Everybody outside of Christ, and I'm looking at myself when I say this, for 49 years, I want nothing to do with them. And you bring them up, you keep them for yourself. I don't want no part of them. I got my life. I know what I believe, and I'm good. You be good, and I'll be good, and let's call it a day. America has forgotten that Christmas is not a holiday. It's a spiritual event. They've forgotten. Our country is so blinded by the sin and the immorality that's in it, they don't see God's love gift for man is the Christ child. They don't see it. They can't grasp the idea that Christmas is about love. It's about hope. It's about salvation. And it's about eternal life. They don't grasp that idea. They don't grasp the idea that that cross is the greatest present that mankind could ever conceive. He couldn't even conceive of it. Who could conceive that God would send his only son to save us? No benefit for him. There was no Christmas for Jesus, ever. There was only ridicule. There was only persecution. There was only carrying our sin. Why? Because he was serving. The real Christmas is about what God gave us, not what we give each other. And most of America has no clue. Actually, you could say most of the world has no clue. And they talk about love. They talk about hope. They talk about love and hope and joy and peace. They sing the songs. You hear the carols. All of it's going on. And they have no clue what those words mean. Their love is conditional. Their hope is temporary. There's nothing there. How do I know that? Because I was there, and so were all of you. But the moment something changes in your life where you know what really love is, that's the symbol of love. Nothing I ever did for another human being, including making another human being, showed more love than that cross did. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the gift that nobody wants to unwrap in America today. And worse than being blind to the birth of Christ, America is hostile to the idea of Jesus Christ. When you go out, you say, I've done it in grocery stores. I'll say, Merry Christmas. Oh, they'll say, it almost comes out. Then they say, Happy Holiday. Hostile. Romans 8:7 backs that up. It teaches us a man is a God hater. The carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. And that word hostility means hatred. It means I'm hostile to somebody. When a country declares war on another country, they declare hostilities towards them. And God tells us all of this. And yet, he sent his son, even while we were sinners, to save us. That's love. That's love we can't understand. Imagine him sending his son, knowing that we hate him, and saying, you know, I want you to go down there. And I know they're all God haters. They hate us all. But you know what? I want you to go down there, and I want you to give them your blood. I want you to pay their sin debt. We want objects to love. And that's really what you are. If you're a believer, Christmas is about you becoming a love object for God. He made you the object of his love. Jeremiah tells us that when God spoke to him, he said, I have drawn you with loving kindness. I drew you with loving kindness, for I have loved you with an eternal love. That, you know what that means? That means God was eternal. He never had a beginning. There was never anything on God's mind but his people. Why? Because he had everything else. He wanted us. And that's what Christmas is about. America's forgotten that it's not a holiday. On December 25th, the world tries to drown out the real Christmas message by inventing ones that fits their spiritually dead hearts. They claim love, joy, peace, hope, goodwill towards men, but they don't have a clue to the spiritual meaning of those words. They have no clue at all. You really think when you look at the internet today that they understand goodwill towards all men? They don't even know what a man is anymore. People don't know who they are anymore in this country. That's how far we've slidden. They don't know if they're a male or a female. They have no clue. They claim they have the Christmas spirit, but in doing that, they deny Christ is the Christmas. If you don't know this and you're listening to this, the word Christmas, if you use that word, it says Christmas, and it means, I wrote it down here, Christ's Mass or Christ's Festival. It comes about, Christ is Messiah. Mass is festival. He was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. He came, and everybody in the world should be rejoicing that he came. But they don't. They hate him. They actually tried to kill him. He took his own life. He didn't let them do it. They don't get the part that the Christ child is the celebration, is what the celebration is all about. We're not celebrating. What do you celebrate at Christmas if you're not celebrating Christ? What are you celebrating? Nothing. Presents. A dinner. Football games, going hunting, something. So what, they remove Christ from Christmas and they replace him with a badly dressed old man who flies around in a sled drawn by 8 reindeer. And I've said this to you every time I've mentioned Santa Claus and reindeer. If he ever drives over my house, I'm having venison the next day. That's going to be my dinner. And you know what he does? This Santa Claus, and the other thing that gets me, they do it with Easter, they do it with Santa Claus, with Christmas. They teach their children not to lie, then they lie to them. They lie to them. And that's just not the only thing. When you think about Santa Claus, you have to remember that, as the story goes, he leaves gifts for everyone. Everybody gets a gift. But for the bad kids, for those that didn't behave, they only get charcoal or wood. Charcoal or wood. And I know some parents that actually did that. They gave their kids charcoal and wood. And then in another closet, they loaded them up with everything else. So that really did a good thing. You see, what's happened is America has counterfeited Christmas and turned it into a holiday instead of a spiritual event. And they've taken all the trimmings of Christ and they've replaced it with everything they can imagine. And really what it boils down to, if you look at the secular Christmas, it's really man honoring man. That's really what it's about. That's the bottom line. It's about rejecting Christ and celebrating man's goodness. And without Christ, a person will never experience the joy, the goodwill, the peace they sing about. And they all sing about it, but they're never going to enjoy it because they don't even know what it is. What they're singing is temporary. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't known and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me ask you, which side of the Christmas coin are you celebrating? You're not celebrating the one with the manger. And what are you celebrating? I say the same thing at Easter. What are you celebrating at Easter if you're not celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you're celebrating Christmas, you're using that Christmas, you're taking time off from work. What are you celebrating? Certainly isn't Santa Claus if you're an adult. It's not. You're not celebrating anything. It's a day off, a time for you to empty your bank account and complain about it for the next 2 months or 6 months. That you did it. There's nothing left. There's no celebration of anything without Christ, period. And if anybody, and if anybody can come up with one, please text me. Let me know, because I'd like to know what somebody could celebrate outside of Jesus Christ on Christmas, Christ Mass, Christ Festival. If that's you, and you want to know how you can get on the other side of the coin, you want to know how you can become a born-again believer, how you can taste what love is. Did you know love is a taste? It's a taste that gets in your heart, not in your mouth. And you love God so much for what he's done for you in your life, and you see things so clearly because of that, that you are a new creature. You are an alien in this world when you do that. And you love God enough to give up your life to him, in a sense being that you're living, basically you're living a moral life as a Christian. That's what you're doing. And when you celebrate Christmas that way, you're celebrating a moral thing. It's not about anything else except God's love for you, not for your love for other people. Not what, hey, you got me this, next year I'll get you something. No, it's nothing about that. Although that is part of it. Okay. And I want to tell those of you, bless you. I want to tell those of you who know Christ as your Savior and who you celebrate. You celebrate Christmas for what it is. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you bought for your loved ones. I don't know what you've given them for a present. I don't know, or presents. But the greatest gift you can give any human being is your prayers. Nothing trumps that. If you're truly a genuine Christian, you can come to God. You can ask God to listen to your pleas for somebody. It's been written that Charles Spurgeon's mother prayed for him and four of his buddies that they'd get saved. I guess they like to drink and be a hooligan, I guess the word is. And she prayed for 5 years every day that the Lord would open their eyes to the truth. Three of his friends got saved in her lifetime. Charlie got saved in her lifetime. One got saved 2 years after that. For 5 years, all of us here who have unsaved loved ones, all of us here that have people we care for, we should put them individually in our prayers and ask God, petition him every day, petition him and say, Lord, so-and-so is in my life. You put that person in my life and I love that person and I want that person to be with me in glory. Would you please, Father, hear my cries for this person? Would you do that, Lord? Is there room in your heaven for one more? Certainly there is, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. You can't give a human being anything better than what I just said. In your own words, no gift trumps that. None. If you're a believer, your prayers do matter. And you know it. Now let's flip the coin, the Christmas coin over. I want to look at the other side. Engraved on the head side of the coin, on that side, is the image of a manger. I visualize a manger in a barn, open barn with some little animals there. And on the side of that coin are the words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This promise was given to God's people 800 years. When Isaiah wrote that, it was 800 years before Christ's birth. And in Luke 2:11, a couple thousand years after that, that promise became reality when angels brought shepherds the good news that Jesus Christ was coming. Brought the good news to Mary. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I also note the words unto us in our text is used twice, two times. And that's very significant. It's significant because it's as if God is trying to reassure us this gift of grace, Jesus Christ, is ours. We belong to him and he belongs to us. Christ's child came into the world for one purpose, to give himself unto us. Those two words again, unto us. Listen, Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who being in the form of God, talking about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Do you understand what that means? It means that he came down from heaven, he put his robe off, cast off his sovereignty, and came down to heaven and was formed in the image of a man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That means when Jesus stepped off his throne, he did that for you, Wink. It means that when he removed his glorious robe that he had in heaven, and he put on his prisoner's rags, that's what our bodies are like compared to his. He did that for you, Julie. And when he humbled himself and took on the form of a man, that he did for you and you and you and you and you and you. Every born-again believer, he did it for you. That's the Christmas gift. In every sense of the word, make no mistake about it, Jesus wasn't born into this world to do anything for himself. Everything he did for us. He was the most selfless human being that ever lived. Nobody trumps that. Jesus testified that to himself in Luke 22:27. He said, "For who is the greater? One who reclines at a table or one who serves?" Who's the greater of the two? "Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus came here to serve his Father, and in doing that, he gave himself for us. Yes, he came to serve, but he did much more than that. Not only did he come to serve, in his birth, he brought many, many gifts to each of his people. To begin with, the term "unto us," and I'm going to use that term a couple of times. "Unto us" means he came to justify our sin debt. Every single human being, every single one of us are sinners. Even though you may think you're a good person, you've sinned against God. If you ever told one lie, then you've sinned against God. And in doing that, you have no forgiveness until you come to Christ, and only then through his blood are you then justified in front of God for your sins. And that justification is seen in Romans 8, 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Listen, I want to tell you something. You can't put forgiveness on a MasterCard or a Visa card. You can't do it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will do that. "And unto us" also means he came to break the chains of our bondage to sin. He says it in Romans 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." For all those listening here and online, understand this principle. You were made to be an eternal creature. Adam and Eve were made to be eternal. So when they sinned, they didn't lose their eternal standing. They simply were separated from God, and they had to experience death, just like we do. They're still eternal. We're eternal beings. So whether you know Christ or not, either way, when you leave this realm, you stop breathing and living in this realm, you're going to be transferred to the eternal realm. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13 or 14, "And you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son." And that simply says that when the moment I leave this earth, in the twinkling of an eye, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. In that instant, I'm going to be there. And that's what, what I'm saying is that because we have Christ, I know where I'm going. I didn't know before. You know, I thought maybe it's just a dirt nap. You sleep, you die, you just lay in the ground. There's nothing more to it. That's really convenient. That's a convenient way to think of it. But I knew there was more. And everybody else knows there's more. There's going to be a judgment. It is given unto man to die, and then comes the judgment. As Christians, we know our sins are forgiven. Why? Because we're doing our best every day to live a decent Christian life. That's really what it boils down to. We know where we're going. We don't think it. We know it. And that verse gives us that proof verse in Romans 8:2 gives us that. Not to mention another gift that he gives us is hope. What hope is in the world? The reason the world is in the turmoil it's in is because it has no hope. There's no hope. Did you know that at this time of the year is when people suffer the most depression? Did you know that? It's true. And then it wanes and it goes, it gets worse, it gets better. There's no genuine hope in this world. Because first of all, what can you hope in without Christ? What? What is there to hope in without the Lord? What? There's nothing. And I'm telling you that for 49 years, you could have told me that till my teeth fell out. I wasn't going to listen to you because I had all the answers. I knew what it was like. I was taking care of myself. I did everything, right? But once you get saved, all of a sudden, your eyes open up to the real world and where it is and what's going on in it. And for the first time in my life, I had hope. No matter how bad life was, there was hope. There was hope that I was going to go to heaven. I believe that. And I've told people, they say, well, what makes you think that instead of it's just a crutch or something? That's what I used to tell people. I said, let me ask you a question, friend. What if I'm right and you're wrong? What if you think it's nothing, or you think there's a God and he'll figure it all out, and there's no standard for you at all except what's in your head? At least here I have the Bible as a standard. I'm using something that I believe is inspired. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? You know the last thing you're going to remember? Our conversation. You're going to remember that I told you that the only way you're ever going to get out of hell and the lake of fire is through Jesus Christ. That Christ child came to give you that hope. And I stand on that hope, and every believing Christian stands on that hope. Not to mention all the other things he does with that hope by delivering us from ourselves a zillion times and all the other things in life. How about joy? There's no joy in the world. John 15:11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. There's no joy in this world. This world is filled with nothing but hate and confusion. That's all it is. And then in Romans 8:15, he adopted us. He adopted us. I mean, God didn't forget anything. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Haven't you ever looked at somebody's family and said, wow, like, remember Leave It to Beaver or My Three Sons? Or, you know, those were families. I mean, you know, you looked at them and said, wow, those people don't seem to be as dysfunctional as my family, right? Well, I got myself adopted into a family. So did you. That's perfect. He's perfect. I have that standing of perfection, and now I'm in a progressive state of sanctification. Every day, as I draw closer and closer to my homecoming, I'm becoming more and more Christ-like, and that's really what the Christian religion is all about. That's it, in a nutshell. An eternal life, that's the other gift Jesus gives us. John 11:25-26, he told Martha, before he raised Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, and here it comes, of what I just said to you, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You got that? And let's unwrap one more, and I'll stop. Unto us means Jesus Christ came, He forgave our sins. He delivered us from the devil, from sin, the world. He delivered us from everything. And on top of that, you know what else he did? He made us joint heirs with him in heaven. You believe that? Joint heirs. And that's in, where are we? Romans 8:17. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. And I want to tell you something. The reason that's important to understand is he says joint heirs. He doesn't say, okay, Mario, when you come up here, I'm going to give you a little section over here. I'm going to give Wendy a little section over there, because that's all you own. By making you joint heirs, you own it all. That's the difference. It's a little nuance that people like to slip by. That's the perfection of God's word. We own it because we're in Christ. And for us, Christmas isn't just a yearly celebration. For us, we should be celebrating Christmas. And no, we should be unwrapping Christmas presents that he's brought to us every day throughout the year for the rest of our life, every day. We're downstairs this morning in Bible study. We're talking about the testimonies. That's unwrapping God's Christmas presents. That's that your belief system is allowing God to bless you. And in blessing you, your life gets changed. All the things that we talked about that happened to people. See, what you have to understand as a genuine Christian is this. This life is a dress rehearsal for being with your Lord in heaven. It's a dress rehearsal. John 14:2-3 backs that up. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, David. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. Do you understand what that means? That means Christ wants you to be with him in heaven. Period. That's your Christmas present that you have every day. That's your hope. That's your peace. That's your joy. And that comes directly from the sovereign God. It's yours every single day to enjoy for the rest of your life. So go home rejoicing. Give thanks to one another. Give gifts to one another. But not because it's the holiday season. Don't do that. Do that because unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Let's pray.